Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer, in the name of our precious Jesus. Amen. So what in the world happens in our gospel lesson for today? Jesus says, greater works than I do, you will do. Greater works than these, you will do. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, what is Jesus thinking? I mean, come on, he knows me. What in the world is he thinking? I mean, golly, I mean, Jesus, he did all these miracles. He healed people. He cast demons out of people. He raised the dead. He changed water into wine, his first miracle. I can't even barely change water into coffee, let alone water into wine. What in the world is he thinking? Then as we take a glance through the other lessons that surround our gospel today, something might be coming into vision. Think about what happened in the Acts lesson for today. Here Stephen is being stoned, right? And he's being stoned as a martyr for the faith. And there he is, even as he's being stoned, and he says something miraculous. He says, Father, don't hold this against these people. In other words, forgive them. Don't hold it against them. Oh, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's a pretty powerful work. And then we look in our epistle lesson for today, and it talks about the fact that people are sharing Jesus' love, and they're overwhelmed, and they're going around and declaring the marvelous works of God and doing marvelous deeds for him, and all these things are pleasing to God and give glory to God, and people see these things, and they come to know Jesus. Those are some pretty awesome works. But what? Greater works than Jesus? I mean, come on. We already talked about the miracles of Jesus, but let alone the fact he did something we couldn't do. He went to the cross for you and for me. He went to the cross to die for our sins. My brothers and sisters, we could not do that. We could not. Well, I mean, yeah, we're going to die for our sins. We're all going to die. But because he died for our sins aren't counted against us anymore. But back up before that, he lived a perfect, righteous life. We could not do that. And because he died on the cross, something great happened. Martin Luther calls it the joyful exchange. As he was hanging on that cross, he joyfully took our sins upon himself. It became sin, and he gave us his righteous perfection so that now when the Father looks down upon us, he sees us as loved and redeemed and wholly forgiven children, his children. We can't do that. And then Jesus died, and then he rose from the dead 3 days later. We're still celebrating Easter. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah, right? We're still celebrating Easter. We couldn't do that on our own, but Jesus did. And he assures us that we will live forever in heaven with him, and that we will rise up out of our grave one day in a triumphant resurrection just like his. Greater works? What is he talking about? I mean, on Good Friday, Stephanie and I watched The Passion of the Christ once again, that movie from several years, many years ago that Mel Gibson did, and thinking about the torture and the beating that Jesus went through. I know, there's no way. There's just no way. How in the world can we do greater things? And if you take that verse and you look at it and you start to ponder for it, it gets a little stressful. I mean, it can get a little stressful. And in fact, a lot of people cause stress with that because there are so many different churches and faiths, different Christian denominations out there that teach you have to do good works to go to heaven and your works have to be good enough to please God. And if that's the reality, I'm not good enough. I mean, I can't even do greater things than Jesus, let alone even minuscule things like Jesus. I fail all the time. But thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, it's not about good works. Good works do not save us. It's not about how bad we are, and it's not about how good we are. It's all about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and surrendering and clinging to his promise that gives us victory over sin, death, and the devil forever. That's what it's all about. Because all of our works are like filthy rags in the presence of God. We are not saved by what we don't do. We're not saved by what we do do. We are saved by trusting and clinging to the promise of God, which he gives us the faith to do, that Jesus Christ has died and has risen for you and for me. That is wonderful news. It sets us free from bondage, free from our past, free from our failures to truly live in him. I can't imagine living a life to thinking where my good works will save me. I can imagine that. What stress that must be. What stress. I mean, I have enough stress in this world right now with the coronavirus and everything else and financial worries and all these things, and you do too. What if we had to worry about our eternal destiny based upon our works? We would be in so much stress and anxiety. we would have no hope. But we do have hope. We have the hope in knowing that God has redeemed us, saved us, rescued us in Jesus Christ, and has made us perfect in his sight, not by works, but by faith that he gives to you and to me. What a mighty and loving and awesome God we serve. But hey, works do play a vital role in faith. In fact, St. James says, faith without works is dead. And that's true. Faith without works is dead. Works are a direct result of faith. In fact, we know that as we are filled up with the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, we, in the theology of the cross, as that fills us up in that vertical relationship with God, horizontally, we outflow that love and grace to everyone around us. We can't contain it, and that's the good works we do. We do good works because we are saved in thanks and praise to God. You know, it's almost a litmus test to look at our lives and say, are we doing these things? Are we doing works? Are we doing great things for Jesus? And I do that in my life, not because it depends on my salvation, but because I need to look at it, because it's a litmus test for where my relationship is with Jesus. Am I connecting to him enough? Am I spending enough time in his word? Am I praying enough? Is there a grudge that I'm holding? Do I need to seek out his forgiveness? Is there something I need to repent of in my life? These are litmus tests. When we look at the works we are doing in the world around us, when we look at the very fact that we are called to be disciples, are we being disciples? Are we truly loving people? Are we truly telling people about Jesus? Are we expanding the kingdom of heaven in our lives, not our church, in our lives, because we are the church? Are these things occurring? And if the answer is no, or they're weakened, we need to take a serious look at our lives, open up, surrender to God, and say, show me what I need to change to be more like you. That's what has to happen. And that's a glorious thing that he enables us to do that. Our faith is not dependent upon it. Our salvation is not dependent upon it. But the health of our faith is, and the growth of our faith is. So greater things, huh? Greater things. Can I do greater things than Jesus? As I said earlier, I can barely turn water into coffee. And I have a Keurig, and I still can't do it. The reality is, when we do these good works, we come to the realization in knowing that it is not us who does them. It is God in us. You see, this is important to understand. The entire Christian faith is all about knowing everything is dependent upon God and everything is about God. There's freedom in that, right? There's freedom. Everything is about God. He's at the center. And because we are baptized children and have his promise that he has made us his children, and we have his promise that he sends us his Holy Spirit to continue helping us grow in our faith, we know that he does mighty works in our lives. Now, we can block it, as we already talked about. We can block it. But when we surrender and get out of the way, he does mighty works. And he does great works in you and in me as he uses us to love others around us. Just looking back at the Acts lesson today, how powerful forgiveness is. Now, let me say this. Forgiveness doesn't mean you let people back in your life who hurt you. You still have to have healthy boundaries. But forgiveness releases that person and releases you from being enslaved to that person so that you can love them the way they need to be loved, and praying for them and caring for them, or whatever you need to do. Whatever you need to do. Forgiveness is key part of loving people and doing the work of Jesus. Even Jesus himself from the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He still had his boundaries. In order to be saved and go to heaven, you have to have Jesus. He still had his boundaries. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. What a powerful, powerful work of God in us. We know that every time God uses us to love our children and our spouses, to humble ourselves, to give to them, Jesus is doing a mighty work in us. We know that when we take our anxiety and our worry, whether it's about this virus or finances or everything else that's going on in the world, and surrender that to God and be a constant help to others by calling them on the phone, sending them a text, writing them a letter, or just calling them up and praying with them, or letting them know that we're there for them, God is doing a mighty work in us. We know that as we get to know our friends at school, our coworkers, our neighbors on the other sides of our fences, we know that as we do this, we are sharing the love of Jesus, not always with our words, but with our actions, as we get to know them and walk a life with them. You see, my brothers and sisters, here's the purpose. When we do these things, we come to the place of realizing life is not about us, but about God. And therefore, because life is about God, it's about our neighbors, those we are in contact with every day, and that's discipleship. And what God causes us to do and doing great works is to focus not on ourselves, but on the outside world around us, humbling ourselves, surrendering ourselves to Him, and giving ourselves to others. This is discipleship. This is Christianity. This is love. This is doing greater works, because God is doing them in us. Our focus must be outward to the cross and beyond to the empty tomb where Jesus has risen for you and for me. Greater things you will do. And in fact, I'm proud of you, Christ Lutheran Church, because greater things you have done, because of your generosity, because of your care and compassion, because of your gifts to our congregation, to our family, people are being served and loved in more ways than you can imagine. And I can't wait to share those with you. I can't wait. You are doing great works. God is doing great works in you. Your love is shining. And I'm hearing stories of you guys calling people and sending letters and getting to know people and praying for people. Well done, good and faithful servants. Keep it up. If we ever doubt that good things are not coming good out of this, just look at what you're doing. Good things are happening as God uses us to do great works to change the world one heart, one life, one soul at a time. Well done. I thank you. The Lord thanks you. And more importantly, He loves you unconditionally. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.